Hey, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. We're back. It's exciting. It's awesome. Good to see you all. Jade was made for the camera, was she not? That was amazing. That was wonderful. I want to greet all of you who are tuning in online and staying faithful. I want you to know something. You're not missing anything, okay? We are having a great time here, but I know you're having a great time there. And I want you to know this, that we honor and respect your decisions, no matter what the reason is you're tuning in online. Maybe you're traveling out of town. Maybe you're not comfortable being in group settings. There's a lot of reasons why that could be the case, but I just want you to know we love you. We appreciate you. You are with us, and you are a part of us. Let everybody online hear you, everybody. We welcome you in. It's awesome to have you. Hey, for those of you in the building, this is so fun. This is so fun. I'm excited that we are open. That the doors are open and that people can come. And I just want to welcome all of you back. If it's been a long time since you've been at church here, I just want to say welcome, welcome, welcome. This is super, super exciting. I see faces I haven't seen in months and some time. And man, it just feels really, really nice, doesn't it? It just feels good. Warning, though. Can I just give you a pastoral warning? Is that okay? Sometimes when we are on the roll, moving, things are happening, it feels awesome, like, yeah, man, God's just moving for me. That's about the time that our adversary likes to get up in our face and try to create disruption. Think about this. Jesus, when he was baptized, he went down under the water, and when he came up with his cousin John the Baptist, a loud voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." I would imagine having that kind of affirmation from your father in front of all those people would feel pretty good. The very next thing we see happen is Jesus in a wilderness, fasting, praying, and being tempted by the enemy. So listen to me, church. This is a good day. This is a new day. And I'm going to get into that into detail here in just a moment. But listen, let's just buckle up our chin straps, all right? Put our spiritual armor on because, listen, the enemy's going to come, all right? And you guys are like, well, I thought I was coming to feel good at church. I'm just being real. The enemy's going to come, so just be ready because we are victorious because Jesus was victorious. Amen. Amen. All right, I'm preaching and I haven't even started. I want to get right to our series today, right to our message. And I want everybody, whether you're at home, out of town, whether you're in this building, I want you to really hear my heart. I want you to hear the reasoning behind this series. For me, everybody, I even had somebody say this to me this morning. This is the first day of my new year today, January the 31st. I didn't start at the first. I rebelled. I was like, forget it. I'm not doing that. I know when my New Year's Day is, and it's January the 31st, 2021. I actually had one of our team members this morning say, "Happy New Year, Pastor." And I was like, you heard me. You know what's going on. Here's what I want you to hear me say this morning, Church on the Rock. Everybody, I want you to hear me say something. This is a new day. This is a new day in our church. This is a new day for you. And I want to talk a little bit about that because for me, this is not just the start of some series. This is not some idea that I just had and I put together a little connection of messages to connect to our services. This is something that I feel is entirely and exactly in direction with what God is trying to do in your life. And I want to talk about that a little bit, all right? Now, to give you the context of this series, I've got to give you some of the backstory. You okay with that? I like telling stories. I'm going to tell you just a little bit of the story of how we got to January 31st, 2011, the building back open, and the start of a series called A New Day. If you've been around the church for any small measure of time, you'll kind of know some of what I'm going to describe. And if you're brand new, just bear with me for a second because I'll get you caught up to where we are as a church. It was November the 15th, 2020 was the last time we met like this at Church on the Rock. That was the last service that we had where all the doors were open. We had an 8 a.m., a 9:30, and an 11 a.m. service. We were really seeing lots and hundreds of people coming back to the building. Pastor Anthony preached that day. It was normal. It was normal. It was church as we knew it. And then all of a sudden, some things started to transpire, and within our church family, we began to see this unbelievable outbreak of positive COVID cases. And in a matter of 48 hours or less, our team, after hours of prayer, hours of meeting, made the decision, we're going back digital. which was an interesting decision that had plenty of outfall in all the negative ways, okay? And so we made this announcement. I actually sat in a video wearing this exact same outfit. Maybe I shouldn't admit that, but I was wearing these exact same clothes when I said, hey, we're going back digital, everybody. And I'm sorry, we're going to close the doors. We'll see you online. And here's what I'm going to tell you, all this from my personal perspective. I'm going to be vulnerable today. I'm going to let you in on the process of what I was going through personally because it's going to relate to you directly. Fair enough? And we made this decision because what we saw when the doors opened back up is we saw this incredible, like it caught me off guard. I didn't expect to see this many people come back to the church. I was pleasantly surprised. Like, oh my God, we are packing rooms out like we were in 2019. It was staggering. What also caught me off guard was the very few amount of people that were coming back to serve you. And I was a little flat-footed. Like I just would have expected if this many people came back, that more people would serve the people coming back. And we were running our church on the most skeleton serve teams I think I've ever led with, ever. And then all of a sudden we had 18 people test positive for COVID-19 in 10 days, 12 of them served on our team. And so we just sat in meetings. And made a very tough decision and said, look, we're asking a lot of these people. We can't ask anymore. And we called time out. And then all of a sudden, the outfall comes. And what I did not know was what was next. I had no idea. And so I'm just saying, all right, well, I guess that's the decision. I don't even know what to do from here. And all eyes are on me. And people were frustrated. And people made their way away from the church. And I was getting plenty of conversation about all the disagreement for my decisions, and plenty. I was hearing plenty, plenty, plenty. And I didn't know what to do. I really didn't know what to do, and I began to pray, God, what's the game plan? And what happened was I was in this moment with the Lord, and let me get to the point. I was in this moment of prayer, and God spoke to me, like, really clearly. And I knew it was God because I didn't want to do it, and that's usually how I know. And I just knew it was the Lord, and here's my thing, okay? I'm this guy, like whatever it is. When I know I've heard from God, I'm like that solid boat captain. I'm on board until this thing safely arrives to the shore or it sinks to the bottom. I'm not moving. And I knew I had heard from God. And what God spoke to me was, He said this, and this isn't going to make a lot of sense to a lot of people, but He said, "Think like a planter." And I was like, "Oh no, I don't." I know what that means, and I don't want to do it. I didn't plant or start Church on the Rock. That's kind of the term now. I'm a church planter. I'm going to go start a church. I didn't start this church. I stepped into the leadership of this church, and I've always said my whole life, I don't have the gift to plant. I'm not the guy that plants. That's not who I am. God wired me differently, and then God spoke to me and said, I want you to think like a planter, and I knew what that meant, and so, again, just to kind of fast forward and get to the point, what I knew that meant was you need to build a team and then start your church. And I knew that was going to take a lot of energy, a lot of time, and a lot of effort. And I spent 2.5 days, I made 26 phone calls, and I got 24 people to make a commitment to me to say, I almost batted 1,000. I will help you relaunch the Church on the Rock serve team. And I said, let's do it. And then what we started to do was we started to gather together in this building just about 30 people. Because I said, well, bring your wife, bring your kid, you know, whatever, bring your husband. We're just anybody that wants to just bring them. And I'm going to start communicating to you. Just do church with us. And then right afterwards, we're going to have a meeting, and I'm going to pioneer the relaunch of Church on the Rock. It was December the 6th. I was up very early this morning, and I checked it. I wanted to document timelines. It was December the 6th, and I was standing here just like this, and I was looking into the camera, and it was the first time that we had any people in the building, and I was just talking and welcome and trying to be high energy, and then these words came out of my mouth, and it probably sounded really prepared. It came just from out of my spirit, and I said, it's a new day at Church on the Rock. And I'm going to tell you right now, when I said those words, it deeply resonated deep within me. The Holy Spirit of God used my very mouth to say something that was very, very meaningful. I needed to hear, it's a new day at Church on the Rock. and it just resonated deeply with me. I was like, all right. And then I began to pray. And from December 6th until the end of the year, I went through some of the worst emotional season of my pastoral life. By the end of 2020, my emotional tank was completely on empty. I had nothing else to give. I was exhausted. I was overwhelmed at the pressure. And even though I had heard God's voice, and this is how it seems to happen, I knew I'd heard God's voice, and I was standing on that boat. We're either going to get to our destination or sink in the water, and I'm not leaving no matter what happens. Even though all of that, the loudest voices I could hear were my critics. It's all I could hear. I was exhausted. Totally exhausted emotionally. But God began to move. God began to move. And then we go into 21 days of prayer and fasting in church. I'm just telling you, I'm just being vulnerable with you. I was desperate. I was in a bad spot. And I needed God to do something significant. And I began to pray. And my prayer was, day one, January 3rd, I said, God, please rescue me from this pit. I had preached a very mediocre, over-emotional message that morning because I was preaching from fumes of what I had left. And I said, God, please rescue me from this pit. And I'm watching my time, so I got to hustle. And it was January 4th, Monday, day two of 21 days of prayer and fasting. I prayed for composure. Specifically, and for today, not then. And so back to January 4th, I didn't do anything my calendar said do. I woke up that morning, and I just got in the presence of God. I sat with worship music, a Bible, and a desperate prayer. Like, help me, I'm in trouble. And, you know, we do nightly prayer meetings during 21 days of prayer, Mondays through Saturdays, and the first night, like, you know, I'm the lead pastor. I lead. And I was scheduled. And so I knew, like, God, I've got to lead the charge tonight, and I need to be better. I can't be like I was yesterday. I need the tank to rise. And so to get to the point, it was the final 10 minutes of prayer. We call it corporate prayer, and I was going to lead our church in prayer, and I was saying, I want you to agree with me in prayer, and I want you to just call on God, and I was going to begin to pray, and as I began to pray, I felt very heavily prompted for God to, that God wanted to speak into our church. That would be like a prophetic word, that God is speaking of something to come, and I don't operate in that heavily, but I do operate in the prophetic some. And I just felt very, very strong that God wanted to speak. And so I almost had the team like clip together the video and watch it, but I forget it. Maybe we can make it available to you after this or something. I don't know. We'll talk about that as a team if you wanted to see it. But God used me to speak. And when I began to speak prophetically, what God said through me was not for me, it was for us. And here's what God said. God said, I'm taking Church on the Rock in a decisive direction. And nothing you've been through is wasted. And I spoke those words. And when I spoke those words, all these pieces started to connect for me. I saw the picture. I could see it. I could see the New Day statement on December 6th. I could see the relaunch plan in November. I could see the emotional empty tank. I could see the moment and the direction. And I was so overcome by the presence of God, I just fell on my face. And it was the beginning of my rescue. It was like the ring from the boat was thrown into the water, like grab onto this, which is what your kids are doing right now in kids' church. It's so awesome. Anyway, their plan is killer. Your kids are getting served so good. And it was the beginning for me, and here's what happened. Here's what I saw. For me personally, it answered a lot of questions because I had asked every question, have I been a poor leader? Or have I done this to our church? Have I missed God? But when he said decisive direction, nothing you've been through is wasted, it just connected like, all right, you are moving. I am not failing. You are doing something that I don't see it, but I trust it. And I was so overcome by the relief that I couldn't stand in his presence. But here's what I want to say, and we're about to begin. That if God is taking Church on the Rock in a decisive direction, that means he's taking you in a decisive direction. He cannot take us if he doesn't take you. And for the next 6 weeks, I believe that I'm going to be proclaiming God's word to our church. I believe that God is going to move in supernatural ways in your lives and in your stories and in this church, perhaps like never before. I am very, very confident that our God is on the move in our church. It is a new day. Amen. Today. And I really want you to lock in and go with me where we're going. Amen? All right. All right. Let's get started. By the way, every week if you're coming to the building, we have notes in the lobby and pens, and you can be a note taker if you want. If you're at home or don't want to touch things, we have all of this digital. You can find it and do it electronically. I would encourage you to be a note taker if you're interested. I see people getting up now to go get notes. Feel free to do that. You're not going to bother me. Let's get started. This is where the series is going to begin for us. It's Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 19. This is the voice of the Lord. He is speaking. I want you to notice what he says. I'm doing, everybody say it, a new thing. I'm doing a new thing, God is saying. I want us to take this very, very personally because I believe this is what God is saying to Church on the Rock. I'm doing a new work, a new thing, and it begins in you. And he says, now it springs up. And then there's this question, like, hey, do you not perceive it? Are you not aware? Like, do you not know? And in the context, and I don't have time to get into it, the prophet Isaiah is communicating to people that were not tuned into what God was doing. And he was like saying, like, hey, like, pay attention, because God is trying to do something, get on board. This is exactly what's going on in its context, which is exactly what I believe God is doing right now at Church on the Rock. I'm doing a new thing. It's a new day, and here's what I want to do, just like the prophet Isaiah, as a pastor, because I love you, if you're not tuned in, like, if you're not really listening and paying attention, I'm the one going, hey, get on board. You don't want to miss this. It's a decisive direction. We're going somewhere. God is calling us to a place, to a future, to a promise. Let's get ready for a new day. Now, what I'm going to do for the next 6 weeks is I'm going to take us on a journey through the book of Exodus. We're going to look at the people of Israel. Because in the context, now, some of you, show me your hands or something. Give me a thumbs up on the chat. If you saw my social media post, I know I've been a ghost on social media, but I did pop back in. And I said, hey, you can read Exodus chapter 1 and 2 to prepare for this week's message. How many of you did it? How many of you did it? Let me see if it's going to work. Come on, raise them high so I can see you. All right. All right. 7 people. Thank you very, very much. The rest of you, every single week, I'm going to give you what you can read, study, and ask to prepare for next week's message. So at the end of this one, I'm going to tell you how to prepare for next week. And we're going to do this collectively. We're going to move as a unit, everybody, like the people of Israel did. Now, if you know anything about the story of Israel in Egypt from Exodus, they were slaves. God's people were slaves in Egypt. Super fast background, really quick context. I'm going to dive into today's focus is that in chapters 1 and 2, we see this new king of Egypt step into place. They call him Pharaoh. Pharaoh sees the overwhelming numbers of the Israelite people, and he's simply intimidated by a numbers game. There's so many of them. If they continue to grow in their multitude and then revolt against us, they have enough numbers to overtake us. They might not have the sophistication or whatever, whatever, but there's just enough of them, it could be overwhelming. And what he does is he begins to ensue this intense and horrible abortion plan that every Hebrew boy that is born is to be thrown into the Nile River. That's terrible. Well, what happens is there's this Hebrew mother that gives birth to this boy who would later be named Moses. And in her attempt to spare her son's life, like any mother would try to do, the Bible tells us that she makes a basket, she puts her infant baby into a basket and floats him down the Nile River in the hopes that maybe he'll just be okay. Well, lo and behold, Pharaoh's daughter goes down to the river to bathe and finds this baby boy, which is interesting to me that when she sees him, she says, "This must be one of the Israelite babies." And her heart is so moved with compassion that she wants to spare his life. I'm going to just caveat right here. This is a great reason why you can't just blanket statement people. All of the people in Egypt were not evil and horrible because some of them had compassions for Hebrews. So if you have blanket mindsets about people and, well, they must be this way and they must be that way, stop it. That don't work. Back to the message. She finds this baby. She's so moved with compassion that she says, "I want to spare him." She actually finds a Hebrew and says, "I need you to find a nursing mother." The baby goes back to his original mom, who gets to nurse him all the way until he can eat regular food, and then she gives her son to Egypt to live in Pharaoh's home. It's a crazy, miraculous, amazing story, and Pharaoh's daughter names him Moses, which means to draw out. She drew him out of the Nile River. Moses grows up in the land of Egypt. If ever there's a silver spoon story, Moses has one. He has everything. He's in the king's house. He's got the palace and the royalty and the luxury and all that comes with it. And here's where we pick up the story. Exodus chapter 2, verse 11. Many years later, when Moses had grown up, he went out to visit his people. Now notice, he went out to visit his people, the Hebrews, and he saw how hard they were forced to work. Now, pause just for a second. I want you to recognize, let's keep all this in the right context. Moses grew up an Egyptian, but something starts to change on the inside of him, and he wants to go see his people. He's in an identity crisis. Who am I? And some of us feel that way sometimes. Maybe it's because of the way that we were born. Maybe your mom was white and your dad was black and you're trying to make a decision. Like, who am I? And here's the answer, yes. Because Moses was an Egyptian and a Hebrew. And maybe it's now my career's over, I'm retired, I don't really know what's next. Who am I? Yes. You're going to be both things. Some of you are in identity crisis and you need to hear me say that God has fabricated your story on purpose because he's carrying you to a decisive direction. There's a destination for you and it's all part of his plan. I want you to relent and say, "God, I trust you. I will walk in your will. I'll accept this as your plan for me, and whatever it is what you're trying to get me to achieve in my lifetime." Say amen because it's good. Amen. He's in an identity crisis. And he sees how hard these people are being forced to work. And during his visit, he saw an Egyptian beating one of his fellow Hebrews. I want you to notice that he's taking the identity of a Hebrew. Well, he gets ticked off, and after looking in all directions to make sure no one was watching, Moses killed the Egyptian and hid the body in the sand. Like, something's going on the inside of him. And the next day, right, in the same, yeah, verse 13, and the next day when Moses went to visit his people again, he saw two Hebrew men fighting, and he speaks up. "Why are you beating up your friend?" Moses said to the one who started the fight. And the man replied, "Who appointed you to be our prince and judge? Are you going to kill me as you killed that Egyptian yesterday?" And he's like, "Oh, snap. I looked in almost every direction." Then Moses was afraid, thinking, "Everyone knows what I did." And sure enough, Pharaoh, the home in which he grew up in, Pharaoh, heard what had happened, and he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in the land of Midian. Let's just kind of walk through this for a second, that Moses in this moment of identity crisis. I know I was born a Hebrew, raised an Egyptian, but something's stirring on the inside of me. And the Bible says that he decides, let me just kind of go see the Hebrew people. How do they live? What's going on? And all of a sudden, he gets a glimpse, a little insight to the life that they are living, and it bothers him. And all of a sudden, we watch a transition of Moses' heart, which is the title of my message, Your Heart. There's something going on in Moses' heart right now that he can't explain. Because am I an Egyptian? Am I a Hebrew? Should I stay to my silver spoon and my luxury and all these things? Maybe that would be nice, but I can't ignore what's happening on the inside of me. I'm connected to these people. This is my bloodline. This is who I know. And all of a sudden, we watch Moses have this thing where his heart begins to change. Something is shifting on the inside that I can no longer ignore, and it becomes a great passion for him. So passionate, in fact, that he commits murder of the people that raised him in the defense of the bloodline he was born with. It was an interesting dynamic. And then what happens next is that the Hebrews reject him because you're the silver-spooned Egyptian. Why did you get so lucky? Who do you think you are? Are you our prince? We're not here to listen to you. Were you going to kill me too? All of a sudden, there's complete rejection from the people in whom he has a heart for. And then he finds out, man, I got caught. Somebody saw me. And when he turns to go home, now Pharaoh's trying to kill him, and what happens is Moses becomes a nomad with nobody. He has no people. His heart has gotten him into a weird place. But something is changing that he cannot deny, and it's moving him into a certain direction. What Moses does not know is it's a decisive direction. God is doing a new thing on the inside of Moses. He's changing him. He's adjusting things internally. And Moses probably couldn't put language to it. He probably couldn't explain it. He was probably struggling to even be able to articulate it to himself in his own mind. He, I'm sure, was in constant mental and emotional confliction and friction going on the inside because something's happening in my heart. I just don't know what it is. And here's the statement that I want you to pay attention to today. Write this down. Is that the heart changed before the ear heard. God has not spoken to Moses, but his heart's changing. The heart has changed before the ear has heard. And I just wonder, in reflection of 2020, if all the while our hearts have been changing. And it doesn't feel good, and we've cried about it, and we've lost things because of it, and we've been through some very real difficulties and challenges, and we're struggling to actually articulate it even in our own minds, but something's different. In fact, perhaps different that I can't even quite get my finger on it, but something's changed. And what I'm asking, what I'm wondering, is God doing something in the heart of the church in order to prepare the ear of the church? Is our God getting ready to speak about a decisive direction to you? But in order to get your ear ready to listen, he had to get your heart changing first. One of the things that we don't do enough of in our society is reflect. We're going to do that this week. We're going to spend time in reflection. Let me just throw you a little verse to help you, all right? The Bible says this: whoever has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Whoever has ears, like, do you have a hear? Do you, like I know you got ears, like, on the side of your head, but do you have the spiritual ear that's listening for what God is trying to say? The question that I'm asking is, all this time during 2020, and I'm just going to come at you from my personal experience, where I was in one of the oddest places I'd ever been. I had no idea how to measure the church. People would ask me questions like, hey, bro, how big's your church? I'd be like, I don't have a clue. I don't know. I don't know how many people are online and being faithful there. Nobody's at the building. I don't even know. I know we're still doing outreach. I know we're still gathering in groups. I know that we're still, like, the church is there. We're actually fulfilling our purpose, but how are we? I don't even know how to tell. And I'm a systematic process guy. I like scoreboards. Am I winning or losing? How much time do I have left? Like, I need to know. And I go through a year personally of loads of loss, loads of it, both in my church leadership side and my personal side. I lost all kinds of things. And yeah, silly things that in the big scheme of eternity are irrelevant, but in the reality of my life at that moment, they were real and they hurt. And I'm now looking back going, God, what have you been doing in me? All this time that all I could hear was the voice of my critics and everybody with every question and everybody telling me, have you thought of this and don't you think this and shouldn't we do this and how about that? It's like, don't you think I thought of that? Okay, it's how I felt. Like, we have a staff of geniuses and we sit in meetings for hours and we call on God, we thought of that. It's how I felt. It's all I could hear. And every time I would get another email that we're moving to this other church, I would say, God bless you. I wish you the best because I am all about the Big C Church, but it hurt. It's hard not to take it personally. It just is, whatever. It is what it is. And how many people left and I don't even know. No way to tell. But now I'm reflecting going, all right, God, what are you doing in my heart? And what are you about to say? Because maybe, just maybe, through your word, on January 4th, you've been doing all this on purpose. You know, like, you know where you're taking your people. And I know we're freaking out because the Bible says that the Israelite people were crying out to God for help. And he was hearing them. And he said, okay, but I got to do something inside of your heart so that your ear can get prepared to listen to what it is that I'm trying to say. And so this week, all right, y'all ready? This week, this is what we're going to do as a church. This is what we're going to do. We're going to ask some questions. We're going to reflect on some things. In fact, we're going to spend a lot of reflection time throughout this entire series. And the first question that I want you to ask yourself is this question. How did 2020 change your heart? I actually want you, church family, to spend some time this week with God. I'm going to encourage you, maybe you'll watch one less sitcom. Instead of Netflix, you'll spend that hour or 45 minutes in the presence of God in a quiet place, and you'll simply reflect. Let me think back. Let me see if I can connect some of the dots of some of the things that happened to me in the last year. And God, what are you changing? What's going on? How did you adjust my heart in 2020? This is the question that I would love for you to be asking yourself this week because it's a new day and God is taking you in a decisive direction. Nothing you've been through is wasted. Now, the second question, and I'm going to give you two every week. The second question is this: what are you aware of now that you weren't aware of before? Remember, Moses grew up in Egypt, but when he became a man, he became aware of his people. How are they doing out there? He began to walk out and see how they were living and how they were being treated. He became more aware of something that he probably hadn't seen before. The question that I want us to ask is, what am I aware of now? What is it now? Even in my time, in the last quarter of last year, when the tank was going scarcely low, I was saying, asking the question, what can I learn from this? How can I improve from this? What do I need to know next time to avoid this place? How can I keep the needle a little higher than empty? How can I keep it full? How can I stay close enough to God to not get in this place anymore? And for me, I had become aware that my thinking had switched. And it was a perspective problem. I'm just hoping that my personal real life can help you. And I begin to recognize that all I began to focus on were my losses. And listen, there were plenty. I made some mistakes. I don't know. I am as far from perfect. Trust me. Just hang out with me a little bit, and you'll be like, oh, yeah, he's real. It just is what it is. And I began to recognize that all I could see were my losses. In fact, one of our amazing serve team members and one of my great personal friends, Rob, and he probably don't even know how big this was. And I'm paraphrasing it, bro, and I'm probably messing it up. But I was like, he's my friend, and I was talking, man, this has been, awful and blah, blah, blah. And he just shot a text back, hey, remember, man, the Bible doesn't tell us to count our losses, but our blessings. That was big. That was big. Thank you. It was big for me. And I noticed it was a mind problem. And so then I had to go back and say, all right, I actually need to see this differently. Like, what has God done for me before? Where has God rescued? This isn't the first time I've been in rough waters and needed the life raft thrown. Listen, I've walked through some stuff in my life, and I had to think back for a second and say, where has he come through for me before? When was the last time I walked through a very controversial season of our church with criticism all around because I knew I heard from God's voice and he came through then? And all of a sudden, I had to start thinking differently. And what started to happen was my pit that I couldn't escape from, this is the only way I know how to describe it, all of a sudden it had a sloped side. And I was able to start climbing higher every time. And it was a simple matter of my mind. My heart had been so consumed with the pain of loss that my mind had switched to focus on only my losses. And what I had to do was get my mind in a different place to remind my heart that your God is victorious. He will not leave you in this pit. Get up, pick your head up, look at something different. Look up. I preached that a couple weeks ago. And all of a sudden, the pit that I couldn't escape, there's a sloped side. And I just began to crawl higher and higher as my Heavenly Father began to beckon me. Come on, come on. I got you, son. I have you. And I'm just climbing higher and climbing higher. Why? Reflection. I had to spend some time and think about it and let God move on the inside of me. How did 2020 change your heart? What are you aware of now that you were not aware of before? Church, I'm hoping that you'll take these two questions to your quiet time this week and that you'll ask them to yourself and you'll think about it. Get a journal. Begin to write things. Vocal record on your phone or whatever you have to do. Get some of you are artists. Draw pictures and let God speak through the pictures. You do your thing. Get with God and then reflect. Reflect. It's okay. It's going to help you go forward. What's different now? All right? And this is how I'm going to close. I'm going to give you homework every week. Is that cool? I would love for us to just, all of Israel walked through the Exodus to the promised land, to a decisive direction. I would love for all of Church on the Rock to walk into this new day together. All of us, let's do it together. So this week in preparation, I want to encourage you to read and ponder Exodus chapter 3. Exodus is the second book in the Old Testament of your Bible. So you just open it up at the front, Genesis, Exodus. If you didn't read chapters 1 and 2, I'm not patronizing you. Some people don't know. I'm helping you. All right? And if you didn't read 1 and 2, I would encourage you to read Exodus 1, 2, and 3 this week. If you did read 1 and 2, read Exodus 3. Maybe you read it every day. Maybe you read it on Saturday night so it's fresh for Sunday morning. However you do it. I want you to read and ponder Exodus chapter 3. And here's my hint. All right? Here's my hint. I want you to pay attention to Moses's ear. Just pay attention to that. Because today, we took a look at Moses's heart. Next Sunday, God begins to speak. The heart has changed before the ear has heard. That's where we're going. Sound good to you guys? All right, church, I'm a little over my time. Thank you for your grace. But I feel very, very confident that it's a new day in our church. I believe with all that is in me that God wants to do a new thing in you and in me and in us. And I just want to encourage you, get with the Lord. Push the pause button. Go into the closet. Tell them kids, for 30 minutes, you better be bleeding to open this door and just get with God. Find time, reflect, and let God move in you and ask him, what have you been doing in my heart? What are you saying in me? I truly believe that in the same way that I had that moment, it was like all the pieces, all of a sudden, they just connected. And I knew, all right, God, I see it. I see what you're trying to do in me. I believe you'll have that kind of moment with God. The Bible says that if we pursue God with all of our heart, we will find him. The Bible says that he rewards people that diligently seek him. The Bible says that if we draw near to God, he draws near to us. Church family, let's reflect this week. God, what are you doing in me? How have you been changing my heart? What am I aware of now that I was not aware of before? All right. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I have to finish today because there's another service coming. Amen. In 31 minutes. In this series, I'm going to be heavily speaking to those that follow Jesus. So the primary conversation is going to be to those who are already walking with Jesus. But I will always communicate to those who do not. And what I want to do in this moment is invite you, if you're tuning in online, sitting in the back row perhaps, or whatever it is, and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, I want to invite you to do that right now. I can just tell you also from personal experience, it is absolutely worth it. Best decision, hands down, without question, I have ever made. And so if that's you, here's what I want to do. I just want to invite you to repeat a prayer after me, because it is about your heart, the Bible says, that if we believe in our hearts and make a confession with our mouth, we are saved. And so this prayer is just to help that. I actually think God's already moved your heart. I just want to help you with the words so that we can complete this process and you can step into a relationship with Jesus and you can get on this journey and follow him with us. So if that's you, I want to invite you to say this prayer with me. You guys know how we do it here at Church on the Rock. I ask everybody in the room to say it with me out loud. And I do that so that if people are saying it for the first time, they can say it out loud, boldly and confidently. I want you to say, "Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen." Let's give God some praise.